been talking on a series about the fact that 2025 is a year of abundance. Okay, that's the word God gave me actually back last year when I started praying about the new year. Just so you know, I love how the Lord speaks, and he is always willing and ready. Do you know that most times the word for the next year comes when I'm doing something, I'm preparing for a message, and I'm like, oh yeah, Lord, I'm going to be praying about, the word for the new year. That'd be really great. And I go to do what I'm going to do, and there's the word. I'm like, apparently he's ready to speak. It isn't hard, and it shouldn't be difficult when you want to hear from him. When it becomes hard and difficult, usually we're struggling because we want to hear what we want to hear. Then it becomes hard because we start shutting out anything else but, and we don't get to hear what we want. I don't know if anybody's ever had that happen to them. Maybe you're like, wow, now I've been hurt by that person, so I'm praying, but I want to hear, you never have to speak to them again. And then I can't hear it, and it bugs me so much. I've not had that one, and God just dropped it in my spirit for somebody. Maybe it's, well, I've been praying for this situation and this person, and it's going to turn around, and it's going to get better, and I just know God's going to say it. And you can't hear it, and you struggle with it because that's not what God's saying. Now, I'm not talking about a marriage here. Marriage is till death do you part. You make it work. I'm talking about any other situation besides marriage. Sometimes we're pulling on him to try to give us the answer we want. And that's when it's hard. That's when it's frustrating. And that's when sometimes we hear what we want to hear. Or hear nothing at all, which is really, really not fun. So, when you want to hear from God, be open to hear. Even if he's going to say something you don't know if you're going to like. That's when it's easy to hear. You come to him, you say, Lord, I need to hear for this, and I don't have any set agenda for it. I don't have any idea what it will be, but I do need to hear. And continue what you're doing, you'll hear. All right, don't try to hear. Don't stress and worry. Give it to him, and you'll hear. You'll get this knowing. You'll get this sense. This is the answer. That has nothing to do with the message, by the way, but somebody needed to hear that. Because 2025 is a year of abundance, and God spoke it so easily, so it just came. And I love it when he speaks that way, but let me give you a couple verses, and we'll continue on in the message today. And specifically today, we're talking about the fact that God gives abundant wealth. All right, so we talked about kind of an overview, and then we talked last week about the fact that he gives abundant peace. Today, we're going to look at abundant wealth. Ephesians 3:20, now glory be to God who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. That's a big God who can do anything. He is not powerless or only able to do a little bit. He can do anything beyond anything you dream of, and it's according to the power that works within us. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. So Jesus very clearly said, I want my people to have abundant life, not barely get by, not just hold on. I remember hearing an old song, and the whole song was about, hold on, hold on till Jesus comes. You know, that was the theme of it. That was depressing. But sometimes people get that mentality in church that, well, it's a horrible life, but at least we're going to heaven one day. That's not what I read in my Bible. There will be persecution. There will be storms. We talked about this last week. Not everything will be wonderful, but it is not a horrible life. It is the best life ever. And Jesus said it will be an abundant life for those who follow me. Abundance here means exceeding, going beyond, more than enough. How many have come to the end of the month sometimes when it's not quite enough? And God said, I want it to be more than enough. How do we change that? Well, we might give you some tips here today. You see, today we want to talk about the fact that God gives abundant wealth. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." Who gives power to get wealth? Remember the Lord your God. Who gives power to get wealth? It didn't say the government. Like, I just need a government job. So no, it didn't say the government. It didn't say your boss. Who gives power to get wealth? Oh yeah, we heard that. Yeah, Lord gives power to get wealth. But it's me that has to get up early in the morning, go to the job, and work in the cold. Well, that's where the money comes from. Thank you, God. You give me strength, okay, I'll give you that much. Wait a minute. It's a little more than that. He gives power to get wealth. You see, the power to get wealth goes beyond just how many hours I work and what I get paid. That is the basis, the very base of wealth. What God can do goes way beyond that. But do we believe that it's from him? And don't worry, we're going to get down to the basics of it, and the fact that you don't chase money, and the fact that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil, the love of money is. And I'm not a preacher who tries to tell everybody you should be rich, but I want you to see what God says. Because if 2025 is going to be a year of abundance for you, you can't have a poverty mentality that says, I don't ever have enough. I don't know how much I want to say about this, but I'm just going to touch on it a little. Poverty mentality says that God really doesn't want me to have enough because he wants to be, it'll keep me humble. It'll keep me trusting in him. That's not scriptural, but it is a feeling that people have. Poverty mentality never feels that they'll have enough, so they continually grab and stack. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes hoarders have a poverty mentality. And so they keep every little thing because the economy could go bad next month. And I could not have enough. And sometimes it comes from upbringing and a lack. Kids who've had to go without food for a while, they could have a mentality of any time it could happen again, even though they're 50, 60. It can happen. It gets in you. There won't be enough. But God says there will be more than enough. And if you can trust him and believe him, there will be more than enough. Did you know that hoarding stuff and not being able to let it go makes stuff an idol? I'm just going to put it really straight. If stuff becomes an idol, it will own you. What do I mean by that? If stuff becomes an idol, it will own you in the sense of you will make decisions based on, will my stuff be okay? You will make life decisions based on, will somebody take my stuff? You might even choose not to go on a holiday because you're worried about your stuff. You may get angry at relatives over your stuff. You may have fights with your spouse over stuff. It's a sign that stuff might be an idol. What's the best way to deal with that? If you feel like, oh, I think I have a stuff thing, let it go. No, anyways, but yes, let it go. Well, that was really bad saying. Yeah, let it go. Say, Lord, I don't want this to own me, and take some stuff and give it away. Take some more stuff. Get it out. Get it out. And guess what? If you're really wanting to get free of stuff, you can't give out two things and go to the secondhand store and get 10 more. I've met people who do that. They're like, oh, I'm going to do this. They give away two and they feel so good. They have to celebrate and they go get like 10 more things. That won't do it. You actually got to release it. Let it go. All right, that was not in the notes. That's just some good preaching right there, because God doesn't want stuff to own you. All right, I got to get back to where we were. He gives abundance, but we don't live for stuff and we don't let stuff own us. God is the one who gives wealth, and he does it because he wants to establish his kingdom, his covenant, his purpose. Now, the first thing you need to know about this God who wants to give wealth is that he owns it all, according to Scripture. Haggai 2, verse 4 to 9. In this scripture, God's people have been building on the temple, actually, and They went for a while, and then they slowed down for a bit, and God gave a word again about what they were doing. But right in the middle of this, there's a statement that I want you to get and never forget. So he's speaking to the leaders at the time. "Now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, High Priest Joshua, Jehozadak's son, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I'm with you, says the Lord of heavenly forces. As with our agreement when you came out of Egypt, my spirit stands in your midst. Don't fear. This is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. In just a little while, I'll make the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land quake. I will make the nations quake. The wealth of all the nations will come. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of heavenly forces." Listen to verse 8. "The silver and the gold belong to me, says the Lord of heavenly forces." Who does the silver and the gold belong to? God. In other words, all the wealth belongs to him. He can do with it as he chooses. "This house will be more glorious than its predecessor, says the Lord of heavenly forces. I will provide prosperity in this place, says the Lord of heavenly forces." He owns it all. And interestingly, he's telling his people in this portion of scripture, do the work, don't be afraid, I got this. Our trust is in him completely. You know, I talked about how we can hear from God and trust him. And, you know, even as a pastor, sometimes you hear from God and you're like, okay, I trust you, I trust you. And then, you know, something happens, you're like, oh, I trust you, I trust you. You know, it slows down. But you know that God never fails. And some of you who've been to church here for a number of years know that our family has this thing we do just before New Year's or just after New Year's. We pray about our next year as a family. And I'm going to tell you how, just for the ones who don't know, we get around the table, all of the family who's there, and we get around the table and we pray for each person. One person prays for them and the rest listen. By listen, I mean you're saying, God, is there anything you want to say for this person? And then we pray as God leads, and then everybody, we go around. If God's thrown them something, they speak for the person and we write it down. And God speaks every time for the new year. We've done this for years, and I'm telling you, I go back and look at it and I am blown away what God does. And it's just like, wow. There are times I'll go open it up in the middle of the year just to see how it's going. It's like, this is amazing. When God speaks and when we proclaim it in faith, things come to pass. And I'm going to just say something out here that came out at our prayer thing. And I'm just going to say it as your pastor, just kind of the way I've heard it. So it wasn't me praying, but someone in the family, which I'll leave nameless, was praying. And they were praying. They know a little bit about what dad does and stuff. Oh, I just said it was a kid. Anyways, they know a little bit what's happening. And they prayed, this is going to be a year of abundance. I've not yet told you guys or anybody what God had spoke to me about a year of abundance. God confirms things. When I came here the first weekend of the year to preach that year of abundance, I had confirmation. You see, God is not someone who lies. So I want to encourage you, no matter what it looks like, if you're putting your trust in God, get ready for exciting things. Get ready for impossible things to happen. And so our trust is in him, not people. Our trust is in him because he doesn't lie. And he's good. So what has he been speaking to you? What has he been saying to you? I want to encourage you, if as a family, a couple, or if you're a single person, you don't have somebody, get together with some other people and pray about this year. On purpose, say, we are going to pray and hear what God says for this year. We did that actually as a staff team this year as well. All the staff got together. We put some chairs right here. And we prayed for the new year as a church and individuals. Did you know God spoke? I wrote stuff down. You know, when you do it on purpose, get ready to hear. I'm going to encourage you. You're like, oh, but the new year's done. It has nothing to do with the new year, actually. But if you want to pray for the rest of this year, you get together with your family and do this. I mean, do this. If you have one person who really likes to pray, then let them be the one who prays and everybody else listen and kind of write down. When you begin this, it might be just one word that comes to your mind. Joyful. Or, you know, you're getting used to hearing and putting it down. I remember years ago, one of our kids who doesn't talk a lot, they're like, oh, I don't think I ever hear anything. And then we got into the prayer and we prayed for one of the other kids and they're like, I don't know what's going on, but I saw this. And they went on for 5 minutes about this detailed thing God had shown. And it all came to pass. The faith of a child. And you're like, well, what if they just make it up? It makes for a really fun prayer night if they just make it all up. You know what? You know when somebody's making something up. And we actually encouraged our kids, you know what? If you're just thinking about something, you can just say, well, I'm thinking about this. It's okay. Because they don't even know sometimes, am I hearing from God or thinking? So if I tell them, just be super honest. If you're like, you know, this is just a funny thing I thought of, and we'll write down a funny thing they thought of. You know what? Sometimes it's God. So I want to encourage you, do this with your kids. Do this so that they learn to hear and put their trust in Him. Now, we love you guys. We love the people, and we know God uses people to give finance and do things, but our trust is not in people. Our trust is in Him. And guess what happens when your trust is in Him? When great things happen, He gets the glory. Isn't that cool? When things happen beyond what you can imagine, it's Him. All right. I don't know where we were going with that, guys, but I'm pretty excited about what God is doing. Because you see, He owns it all, and He knows what He's doing. The thing you need to know, God owns it all, and God wants to bless His people with wealth. Okay, I want you to understand this. You've got this abundant, generous God who owns it all, and He actually desires to bless His people. That means He desires to bless you. He is not holding out on you. He is not like, well, one day maybe when you're good enough. No, He desires to bless you. God wants to bless His people with wealth. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. God's people should have inheritance for their children and their grandchildren. I know, somewhere now you're like, I need money to pay the power and gas bill this month. We're not even thinking of inheritance. God wants you to be so blessed that you are putting down things in your will for your grandkids, not just your kids. He wants to bless you. And there's a really great verse there. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. In other words, people who think they're just getting money together by evil means and it's going to be all theirs, you know what? That is one day going to go to God's people or to the people who are doing righteous in His eyes. Guaranteed. So there are some mountains of money out there waiting to go where they need to go. So we're like, okay, God, we could use a little bit of it. It's all right. Send it this way. We'll put it to good use. Maybe you laugh at me when I say that. Guys, I think we don't get what God is capable of doing sometimes. Maybe because of our past, maybe because of what we've been through. But if we can shake loose of what we've been through and decide that we're going to take a new step, a new trail to what God wants, it can be completely different. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now that's some serious blessing for being obedient and going. When you are obedient to go, He says, I will bless. Now, if you're obedient in whatever He's asking you to do, you can guarantee blessing will come. Obedience can be tough, but it's where the blessing comes. Be obedient in what He's asking and expect blessing. Abraham was mightily blessed, and he became a blessing to all nations. There's a story in 2 Kings verse chapter 4, and I've read this before. I'll read it again, but let me just quickly give you the before I get to reading. This lady lost her husband and was a widow with two sons, and she owed a lot of money. So the person she owed money to was going to come take her sons to be slaves in payment for what she owed. And so she came to the prophet at that time, And the prophet's name was Elisha, and she said to him, this is what's happening, and you know that my husband who passed away was with you guys. Like, we served God. And chapter 4, verse 2 is where we'll start the story. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? She said, your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Interesting, she had been through some stuff, I think. Lost her husband, now somebody's threatening. She was not in a frame of mind to believe for much, was she? What do you have in your house? I have nothing. Oh yeah, there's this one little flask of oil. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. In other words, you ask for a bunch. This is part of faith. This is part of believing. When God speaks you to do something, don't you just do it a little ways. Don't just do it half ways to see what'll happen. Do it fully, completely. And so he said, don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she sends her sons to all the neighbors, and they borrow every container they can find. Every container they can possibly find, they bring it in, fill up the room in the house, and she takes that one little flask of oil. To her, it was nothing, but it was hers, and it was in her house. I'm going to show you something in a minute here. But she takes that flask, and she pours it into the first pot. We don't know what kind of containers. He said any kind of containers. She pours it in, pours it, it doesn't run out. Pick that one, put it over there, pours it in, it doesn't run out. I don't know how many hours she did this, but she has filled the containers. He said to her son, bring me one more, bring me one more. I'm guessing her faith was a little bit built by then. You got a little flask like this and you just fill it. You're like, what? They said, there's no more. We got them all. And then she goes to Elisha. She says, well, they're all filled. Now what? Somebody who's been struggling with poverty, and she didn't even have a clue what she should do. Did you know someone who has struggled with poverty long enough has a hard time getting out of it and even knowing how wealth can come? It just almost shocks me that she didn't know what to do with it. And Elisha had to spell it out for her. Now take those jugs, sell them, very detailed, pay off your debt, you know, don't go buy lottery tickets, pay off your debt, spills it out, then sell the rest, and you and your sons can live off of it. That's a lot of oil. And I want you to be encouraged today. If you struggle in the area of finances, don't be afraid to learn the simple stuff. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you because you can't see it or understand it. There's a way to learn. There's a way to get out of it. You see, the first thing God will ask is, where are you at right now? What do you have in the house? What do you have that I can bless, that I can multiply? And if you're here today saying, I got nothing, you're wrong. You have something. You have a gift. You have something that God can use to bless. And if you don't, go borrow something from somebody else because he wants to bless you. So how do we receive the wealth God wants to bless us with? You're like, oh, finally he's going to get to this. Or maybe you don't want to know. Maybe you're like, I don't like this kind of preaching. That's okay. You don't have to like this kind of preaching. If you notice, when I preach, I give you a lot of scripture. So you don't have to like anything I say. But you do have to know that this is truth. So when I read this, it doesn't really matter what you think. If I say something you don't like, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Sometimes I get excited and say all kind of things. But this, you got to believe. You see, here's what I see from scripture on how we receive the wealth that God has. The very first thing we kind of touched on already, you need to ask for wisdom. Don't ask for a bunch of money. If you don't know how to deal with wealth, you'll just spend it or lose it. You know, you give a little kid $20 and later they're like, I don't know where it went. They've lost it. It fell out of their pocket. Blew out the window. You know, whatever. We're sometimes the same way on a different level. So don't go ask for a bunch of money. Ask for wisdom. Because with wisdom, money and wealth will come. And you'll know what to do with it. So you ask for wisdom first, like Solomon did in 2 Chronicles 1, verse 10. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I've made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will ever have. God answered this prayer for Solomon. God gave him more than you can imagine, and Solomon became the wealthiest person alive. Maybe today you're thinking, well, how rich was Solomon? I like to know things like this. So I got a little screen for you. You can see 10 of the richest people today. Elon Musk is the richest person at this point. This is, there's the date. $437 billion, and then they show what they have that kind of got them there. Tesla and SpaceX. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, $243 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, I don't know if I said his name right, $214 billion. Meta Platforms, which used to be Facebook. They changed the name of the business. Larry Ellison, $192 billion. That's Oracle, and that is a software business. Yeah, get into software, I guess. But anyways, we're going to keep going on there. Larry Page, $170 billion. That there says Alphabet. When you read it, that used to be Google. So they co-founded Google, and then they've name changed their business, even though Google's still around. Bernard Arnault, $169 billion, a fashion company. I didn't know you could make that much money in a fashion company, but anyways, he does. Sergey Brin, $160 billion. He's the other co-founder of Google, which is now called Alphabet, the business side of it. And then the two next guys were co-founders of Microsoft, Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, $158 billion, $147 billion. Then the 10th wealthiest person in the world right now in January, Warren Buffett, $142 billion. He has an investment company, and he started doing investments when he was a boy. 10 of the wealthiest people right now. Did you know that if you add up all their wealth together, it almost reaches Solomon's wealth? God wants to give wealth to his people. Did you know Solomon did okay with the wealth? He didn't let it take him over. He had some other serious issues. He let women lead him off track and serve false gods. But God trusted him with finance, and he didn't let finance control him. So, any math whizzes, you can check my math, because, you know, I did some of that math. So they say about $2.1 trillion for Solomon. Some other sources say $2.3 trillion. And they're kind of going by the gold and silver and the rates it's at. So that could change every year compared to the rate of gold and silver. But that's what they're saying. Guys and gals, God's word doesn't lie. And when he says, I'm going to pour out wealth, he does it. So what about you? Are you willing to ask him for wisdom? I hope I can shift every one of your idea. Don't you dare go and ask for money. Ask for wisdom. We did a study one time, and I preached at this, I don't remember how long ago, about the people who have won lotteries, like multi-million dollar lotteries. And I shared it with the congregation. I went and researched a bunch of it. Most of them become broke in a number of months. Some a number of years, but unfortunately, a whole bunch of them, their marriages get ruined, their families get ruined, and some of them even went to the point of where they didn't want to live anymore. Getting a bunch of money will not give you an abundant life. Ask for wisdom. With wisdom, when finance comes and wealth comes, you'll know what to do with it. The second thing, after you've asked for wisdom, you need to be obedient with what you already have. You see, you can ask for more, and you can be asking for wisdom, but if you're not obedient with what he's already given you, he won't give you more. I'm trying to think of an example here for you. He won't give you more if you're not obedient with what you already have. Well, let me just give you the scripture, because it's a great example. Matthew 25, 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This was a parable of Jesus talking about a landlord left. And really, he's talking about himself. They left. This is how God's kingdom is. The landlord leaves, and he leaves and entrusts his wealth to different servants. And he gives 5 talents to one and 2 talents to another and 1 talent to another. And when he comes back after many days, he comes back and he says to them, come, what have you done with what I've given you? And the first one who had 5 said, I've made 5 more. And well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enter the joy of the Lord. He comes to the second one who had 2 talents. Well, what have you done? He said, I've made 2 more. And brought them. Everybody say increase. I don't know if you noticed, but in God's kingdom, it's okay to increase. And then he came to the third person who was given 1 talent. Did you know that God gives what he believes you can handle? He gave 5 to the one he knew could handle 5, and he did. He got 5 more. He gave 2 to the one who could handle 2, and he did. He got 2 more. He gave 1 to the person he knew he could handle 1, but you know what he did? I was like, oh, boy. Seems like a lot of work. I think I'm just going to bury it. At least nothing bad can happen that way, and I'll just give it back. He brings it to the master, and the master said, what did you do? And he said, well, I was afraid, and I know that you're such a hard guy to work for, and you know, and he gives him this list of things, kind of blaming the master. And you read his words, he's blaming the master for why he did nothing. And the master looks at him like, basically saying to him, you did nothing. You could have put it in the bank. They had banks different back then, but you could have given it to somebody who could have increased it by interest, is basically what he's saying in our terms. You didn't even do that. He said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Wow. God gives you what you can handle. You need to be obedient with what he's given you. You need to be obedient with what he's given you. I'm just feeling this a little bit, and maybe some are feeling like, oh, I have done bad. It's okay. This is a fresh new day. Ask for wisdom, then be obedient with what he's given you, and help it to grow. When I read scripture, the things God gives that are healthy grow. He wants what he's given us to grow and expand. That's the kind of God he is. He doesn't give us something to put on the shelf and be like, yeah, now I'm going to do nothing. That's a bad way to live. Don't do it. We talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, the hours you make and stuff, that's good. Is there anybody here who does investing? A few people know how to do investing, yeah? Investing, you can make money while you sleep. Some people are like, well, I want to do more. And they think they got to get a second job and work more hours. Well, what about if you gained wisdom on how to make it grow in different ways? Yes, having a business is an investment, but there are other ways. Do you want to get wisdom and learn? And by the way, I have no idea how to invest, so don't take investment advice from me. I'm just telling you, other people have learned how to do it. Why can't you? Why can't I? You know, why not? I think often we don't believe that God wants us to. We have mindsets and cultural backgrounds that say, well, that wouldn't be right. You know, because there's some people in the world who are poor, so it would be wrong for you to be wealthy. That's actually not true. I remember the statement growing up, well, you should eat all your food because there's people over there who are starving. You know, and that mentality of you shouldn't have any left over because other people are poorer than you. Maybe God wants you to have so much that you can do his kingdom purposes, which may be helping bring food to somebody over there. But you'll never do that if you live with a mentality that says, I'm not supposed to have anything. Number 3, so you've asked for wisdom, you're being obedient with what you have, learn how to give. Give and it will be given. And I got to go a little faster, I'm watching the clock here now. Luke 6:38, give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. I had a great grandpa who used to talk about this verse. I never heard him talk about it, but my father had told me. And the great grandpa, I did get to meet him. He was an amazing guy. And he would say, you know what? When you give out with your scoop shovel, one scoop shovel, God gives in one scoop shovel of his. But his scoop shovel is way bigger than yours. Did you know the principle of sowing and reaping? When you sow, something bigger always comes back. That's sowing and reaping. When you plant a seed, you don't expect to just go and dig the same seed back up, do you? I hope not. Some of you haven't gardened. You're like, I don't know. I kill plants. When you plant, more comes. Always. Nobody plants one seed to get one seed back. When Jesus told the story of the good seed going into good ground, some produced 30-fold, some produced 60-fold, some produced 100-fold. What's he saying? 30 times more. You planted one seed, you get 30 back. You planted one seed, you get 60 back. You planted one seed, you got 100 back. Learning to give and understanding that you're planting a seed, more is coming back. So give, and that's also a way of being obedient. Another thing that Scripture clearly says, and by the way, you can check out what wealthy people do. They are all givers. They've learned the principle. They might not even be believers, but they've learned the principle of sowing and reaping. Guaranteed, every single time. Bless the poor. This is another way of being obedient with what you've been given. Blessing the poor, Proverbs 19:17. If you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord and he will repay you. All right, enough said. I don't even have to go into that. And finally, being obedient with what you already have been given, bring your tithe to where you go to church. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to get into it deep. I am just going to read the scripture. Malachi 3:10-12. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Everyone knows what a tithe is, right? It's a tenth. A tenth of your increase, a 10%. It's $10 of every 100, $100 of every 1,000. Boy, we're doing math today. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me. God doesn't say to test him anywhere else in Scripture but here. In other words, he's saying, you go ahead. You bring it and you try me. See if I'm a liar. That's what he's saying. In other words, church, when you bring your 10%, maybe you've never done it, or maybe you've been doing it, but you're like, well, go ahead and bring it and say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you at my home church, because we could go into all the scripture that that's where it should be. I'm bringing it to you, though, Lord. I'm not bringing it for the pastor. I'm not bringing it so they can build a new wall. I'm bringing it for you. And when you do that, you say, okay, Lord, and you said in your word that I could prove or test you. In other words, Lord, here it is. Show me who you are in my finances. I believe every time you bring your tithe, you should have faith like that. You should be saying that to him. Here's my tithe, Lord. Show me who you are. Here's my tithe, Lord. Show me what you promised. Because you see, he promised a lot. If I could finish reading it, I probably should. He says, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Yeah, more than enough. There won't be room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says Lord Almighty. I know none of us are farmers here today. Well, I don't think so. And you're probably like, I don't have crops and vines, so what does that mean for me? It means he will not have your vehicle at the mechanic shop every month. You know what? It's his favor on whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that brings increase for you. His favor will be on it. And then he says in verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Do you know that the Lord loves blessing his kids so much that other people who aren't yet his kids are going like, what? Wow, I wonder if he'll adopt me. You know what? He will. I wonder if he'll take me into his family. Good news, he will. Oh boy, I just worked that right in there good, didn't I? He will. He will take you. It actually says in Scripture that those of us who have come to the Lord outside of Israel are adopted into his family. He will take anybody. He took me. Woo-hoo! Anybody. Yeah, you can be my kid. And I love my kids. And I don't mind blessing them abundantly. You know, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're like, well, I want to be part of his family. I don't know if I am. There's one way to know. And that is simply to say, Jesus, I want you. You see, the price he paid on the cross for each of us was all that needed to be paid. And he said, you can come and be made right with the Heavenly Father once again. I'll do it for you. And he did it for each of us that day. Gave his life. And then he said, it's for you. All you need to do is receive it. And you receive it with words. And so, church, we're going to pray tonight again. In case there's one here today who has not yet got that there in them for real. I want you to pray this with me. Just repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you. I am yours, and I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise tonight.